Bum 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 bum
From an old Sunday school room with a remodeled floor from Fred's, this is the We the Exiles podcast.
We will not build the church according to the changing whims of an ungodly culture. We will change that ungodly culture by the power of the immutable gospel.
Welcome to the We the Exiles podcast. It's finally
Welcome.
Here. I'm your host, Cameron Wood, along with my co-host and brother, Chandler Wood. We appreciate you joining us today. In this podcast, we are going to examine Christian culture in the light of Scripture. We believe in the sufficiency of Scripture, and our goal is to help others to be bold and to stand firm in a world that is increasingly anti-Christ.
And with that, we're going to pray, Jesus Christ, may you be glorified and give us wisdom to speak clearly and boldly about your unchanging truth.
So since this is the first, we're going to kind of go over the setup of this podcast. We're probably going to do this a few more times in future podcasts until we kind of get the swing of it. But this is the first time we've ever done a podcast.
Yes, it is.
So I'm sure, you know, we've got a lot to learn as we continue this journey, but you get to take the journey with us. So
have grace on us.
Have some grace. But this podcast is set up into three parts. The first, what we call the appetizer, which we're in that segment right now. Our second is the main dish, and then our last segment is going to be what we call dessert. Yes, these are the sections of meals you would receive at a restaurant. The appetizer is a conversational discussion about our lives and what the Lord is doing in and around us. This can also serve as a preface to the main dish segment. The main dish, the second segment, is the direct focus of the podcast, and this can be a discussion on the current state of Christian culture and sometimes will involve an interview with a special guest. And last, what we call the dessert segment, this is our closing segment in which we will look at God's Word in relation to what we discussed in the main dish and have time of devotion and course, dessert is the sweetest part of the meal, so we wanted to end with the sweetest part of
Absolutely.
Our podcast, which is God's Word. So yeah, so we're in the appetizer segment, and we thought this is the first time we're doing this, first episode. Why not we give a background synopsis on us, on Cameron and Chandler Wood, our history and the church, and just kind of, I guess, our backgrounds as Christians as well.
Yeah. So we're brothers from Mississippi.
Good old Mississippi.
From the state of Mississippi. We are late 20s, I guess. I'm 26.
Yeah,
just
26.
Turned 26.
Yep, 28. I so, just May 6, 28.
Yeah, we have children and we're married to women.
How many children you have, Chandler?
I have one child.
One child. Her name?
Currently.
Coralie.
Coralie Eileen Wood is her name. She just turned 10 months, and it's been fun. She's climbing on things, starting to hopefully walk fairly soon.
Yeah, I, and how long have you married? What?
I've been married almost 2 years.
2 years,
July 8th.
July 8th.
Will be 2 years.
That's right. You almost messed up your anniversary.
No, I haven't. And I get the 14th because my Coralie was born on the 14th, so I get those
right.
July 14th.
But. Well, in July as well, for me, I will have been married for, 7 years?
7 years.
By the way, did you state your wife's name?
My wife's name is Reagan.
Right. So I'll be married 7 years in July, July 21st, to my lovely wife, Casey. And we are blessed with three kids.
My wife is very lovely, too.
Three kids. Our oldest just turned 6, May 13th. Her name is Estella. And then we have two younger boys, Atticus, who is 4, and then Cassian, who's going on 2.
Yeah.
So we have a full household.
So that's what our life looks like now. We're really close as brothers too.
Yeah. Always been.
We grew up being really close. A lot of times you hear about brothers fighting, and although we had some spats growing up, we, for the most part, were really close. And I think music had a lot to do with that.
Yeah, I would definitely say. I mean, well, I guess the background there, if this is going to be a background segment, is your parents got divorced when you were young. I was, well, 7, you were 5, something like that.
I can't remember, but maybe somewhere on that.
Yeah, we just, I guess music has kind of always been the outlet, which we've kind of turned to. Were you in fourth grade? I think you were in fourth grade.
I was in fourth grade when I started, like, guitar lessons.
Yeah, but we were interested in music before then.
Yeah. Always playing.
Our grandfather is a Southern gospel man, and we just kind of grew up around music in general. And our mother also loved music. She showed us a bunch of music growing up. So music was always kind of our thing.
Yeah, and it was never something. I think it was just always there. There was never a time that I don't remember where it, you know, it was always very intriguing for me.
Yeah.
It was almost like, this is what you're going to do. That almost had that kind of like.
I never really wanted to do anything else or nothing. I mean, we did sports. We did pretty much all kind of sports. But if I were honest, I mean, that was just because out of, I don't know. I guess when I was growing up, I had a feeling that I wanted to impress our father. So I wanted to do these sports, and but never was any good at them. So I never had really any other interest, to be honest, but music.
Yeah. It felt internally like that was what we were going to do, and we didn't really question it. We just did it.
And so with music, growing up, we were in church or a young age, actually, we kind of started out on a different route. We started out as Episcopal, and then our parents got divorced, and then we started going to Baptist churches. Our dad went to a separate one. Mom was going to a different one at the time, and our mom had majority custody, so we're with her the most, and so we started to get really involved, you know, in all the church programs that you have as a kid. And that really began, I guess you would say, our journey for us into who we were as Christians, and it went over into our music.
Yeah.
Because as we look back and think about all the things that we wrote, have written, even when it was terrible,
mm-hmm.
God's hand, it always seemed like God's hand was over what we were writing.
Yeah, for sure. We were in and out of like Lifeway a lot when we were kids, or and Family Christian bookstores, which sadly I think Family Christian
is gone. But Family Christian was kind of the worst out of the two when it came to like theological things they put in their stores.
Yeah,
but Lifeway's not that much better, I guess. But Lifeway's also kind of hitting the dust.
Yeah, yeah. We heard that it's closing. Is it closing all stores?
All physical stores. It's just going to be an online store. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of sad. But we grew up in like the early 2000s time of music in the Christian world, which I thought had a lot of good stuff.
At
the time.
It's fun to reminisce on some of that stuff.
Yeah, so we were influenced by a lot of music around that time, and whether we were genuine in our faith at the time, we were writing music to God. Regardless, and looking back now, some of that's really cheesy, but it's kind of neat to see how God used that in our lives. So,
yeah, I mean, obviously you guys will learn more about this as we continue on and dive more into like where we stand theologically, but it's cool to see what we believe theologically and how that really does play out in our life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just how it truly is God and his sovereignty that rules all things,
yeah.
Right? Whatever he wills and what he wants to happen, you know, it's going to happen.
For sure.
But we grew up playing music. We used to have a binder of cheesy songs. And I remember also that we always, our fun, doing fun things was getting a camcorder, setting up in our bedroom and putting on concerts for other people.
And maybe we can put that
maybe we'll play a clip here. One day, yeah, on here. But but even in that too, it's crazy to see that we took a time out of that to talk about God.
Yeah.
You know, to pray or to say stuff.
It, you know, even though we didn't know a ton. And that's not to say, wow, you know, look at us at such a young age doing that. But I mean, our hearts were not really there, but we were learning that culture. And I was just following Cameron. So I just, he wanted to do that. And I thought, he wanted to do more godly things in with the music. And I just was like, okay. But by God's grace, that became what I genuinely loved.
Yeah.
But fast forward.
High school.
You know, we continued to play music, continued to get better at our craft.
We became, through a friend of ours who actually played music with us for a while, Josh, he brought us to what became our home church for a while, which was Cleary, which is actually where we're airing this from and we're working this out of is actually at Cleary Baptist Church. Which is kind of funny how that works out.
Turned a old Sunday school room that wasn't being used in their old building.
And they allowed us to do this. Cleary's still my home church. It's my home church now. So, but Josh brought us, who was actually Chandler's friend at the time, here.
Still my friend.
Well, still friend, yeah. not whatever. And anyway, we came here. We got plugged into the youth. We eventually became the youth worship band. And then that's really when, like, music took a professional turn for us, I would say.
Yeah.
And shortly after that is when we started to really understand what repentance was and understand who God was because of the pastor who had come to the church shortly after we started doing stuff here. His name's Kevin Ivey, who we still have contact with. He pastored the church that Chandler is at now. He's now in Tennessee, but we're going to talk a little bit more about him in the next segment, but he really helped shape or through his preaching really helped shape and show us the importance of God's word and really for the first time understand what repentance was.
Yeah.
And understand what conviction was.
Yeah.
And the pursuit of godliness or holiness in our lives.
So we were doing a band called Topher Man, which was kind of a combination of our middle names cut and combined. And it was just kind of like out of high school type band. We were doing kind of indie rock stuff. We were, this was around the time we were learning more about the depth of theology. And so we were really cutting our teeth in that time with, you know, experimenting with better lyrics in our songs, better, you know, we were kind of leaving, starting to see ourselves leave just doing a band for ourselves. And we still struggle with that, you know, but that eventually ended when Cameron got married, the band ended and
Topher Man, that is, yeah.
We didn't know if we were going to do music again. But we just can't let it go. So we, yeah.
Real brief on that. So we're Topher Man, you know, Kevin Ivey comes, he begins to preach really biblically, expositionally. We begin to see God's word as God wants it to be read and taught.
Mm-hmm.
And that really sets us off on this new path in our lives. That started, I was in 10th grade when he first came. I was 15. So, and then we actually moved to mm-hmm. South Carolina, both you and I, for my last few years of high school. And, went through that. That's actually where I met my wife. And, and during that time, we weren't really plugged into church as well, but that journey had already been started by Kevin Ivey, but it wasn't until that we came back, got plugged back in, because we moved back after about a year and a half, 2 years, to Jackson, Mississippi, where we reside now, and really, that's where this all started for us, where God was began really working in our hearts,
mm-hmm.
and kind of leading to where we are now. So, and that journey has led us to, you know, start this podcast and to continue on in the efforts of what we're doing through Seeker and Servant, which is the band worship, indie worship band that we do now.
Right. Because we had to continue music in some way, and Seeker and Servant became that. We I don't. Cameron's pointing at me, so I don't know what he's saying.
It's fine. We have to go to commercial break.
Got to go commercial break. Well,
but we can pick up some more of this.
We'll pick up some more of Seeking Servant and how that all came to be on the next segment.
Leaving Shadowland, Seeker and Servant's newest EP. Lord, kill my pride. Help me leave behind. Including the single Fear Missing Out, as well as three brand new tracks. Releasing June 7th, wherever digital music is heard or sold.
We got to learn how these transitions work.
We tend to talk a lot too, and we fill up a lot of space and don't get to the point and stuff. So
yeah,
we're gonna have to work on that.
Yeah, and you can't really see the control panel; it's all on my side. But that's what my pointing was. So
yeah.
But anyway, Seeker and Servant, you know,
Seeker and Servant. We were working separate jobs, and we decided to actually quit those jobs to do something that would allow us to pursue music on a regular basis. So Cameron's always been into film, and we ended up starting a video production company, which is now what we do as like our
income.
We've been doing that for 5 years, and we mainly film weddings. We've shot so many weddings.
Yeah, almost 500.
It's ridiculous, but yeah,
but it's been blessing. I mean,
it's been great.
It's helping fund this too. So
yeah, the job's been a blessing for sure, and it's allowed us to do a lot of things that we would have otherwise not been able to do at a regular day job. But we started Seeker and Servant, and God really kind of blessed that from the start of it. We had started to see a lot more response than we'd ever before with any of the music that we've done, and so it's been really good for us, because we've actually seen that we can release music and people will actually listen to it. But at the same time, I think it was started with a better mindset of using this as a vehicle for the gospel.
I mean, I would say in the 6+ years that we've been doing Seeker and Servant, God's working in my heart has been, I would say, the strongest, because of the convictions that he has shown to me in my heart over the last 6 years have been, I mean, it's been a roller coaster ride as far as concerned. Oh, yeah. I mean, and I can definitely see the growth, our sanctification through mm-hmm. that, because of obviously where we are now. And we know we have so much more to learn, so much more to go, but all of that, every bit of that has accumulation come to where we are now, and while we want this podcast to exist, because we love music. We think Seeker and Servant and the music that we're doing is good, but I think really the ground that the Lord has set us on is specifically for our generation is to be almost kind of a bold voice that kind of goes against the grain a little bit when it comes to Christian culture, our generation, the world in general.
I think that's much needed. We've seen that, because we've, from playing shows, touring around, seeing a whole slew of different people, also just the internet presence and just running a band and being kind of in the worship Christian world, you see a lot of things. And we've seen a lot of good things, but we've seen a lot of bad handlings of scripture, bad handlings of
that
truth.
And then, which this is what this podcast is for. We're going to talk a lot about these things through however long the Lord chooses to bless this podcast. But we see almost to too much borrowing of the world, and we're going to get to that. But with that in mind, that's kind of the history. That's kind of where we are now. We are hoping that this podcast becomes kind of a regular staple in what we do, because we want this to be an extension of who we are as Christian men.
Yeah, and what God is showing us, not that we have all the answers, but we don't claim to have the answers. We claim that Scripture has answers, and we want to dig into that and bring light to current Christian to the current Christian culture.
So with that, I guess it's time for the main dish.
I guess it's time.
Order up.
That's right. It's the main dish, the main primary dish focus of this podcast. So like I said earlier in the describing each section, the main dish is where the bulk of our discussion will be. It'll be the primary focus. And as we're kind of introing who we are, we wanted this segment to kind of continue that. But this is really going to, I guess, be kind of like a...
How we got here
and the central overarching arc of We the Exiles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How we got to We the Exiles, the podcast.
Yeah, so we kind of learned about our history, know who we are. We're into music. We had two different bands, Toverman being the first, Seeker and Servant being what we currently do, and as far as the music outlet goes, and then now starting this podcast, We the Exiles.
So how did we get here theologically, or how did we get here... With such a seriousness for holding to Scripture and wanting that to be a basis for a podcast.
Yeah, and there's podcasts out there that are good like that. I guess where our view is and what we see in Nephi with the Exiles is because we're wanting to speak specifically to our Christian brothers and sisters, our generation, a generation that we see struggling so much with borrowing the world and coupling it with Christianity. And there's been a great resurgence of that talk, but the problem that we still see is though there is a great resurgence of that talk, and there's been a great resurgence of truth, especially within our generation, there's also been this desire, or this, what I see as a not being fully okay with just cutting the world off and just clinging to Christ.
Yeah.
And so,
and we're seeing it more and more each day. I mean,
right. There's things
you
out.
See the headlines.
And it's going to happen. I mean, Christ, we are going to be separated from the tares. We know that.
And that is why we have the name We the Exiles, right. The podcast. We put a record out called Exiles in that same vein. But an exile is someone that's not in his homeland. You know, as Christians, we're...
The world's not our home.
World is not our home. But right. it feels like the quote-unquote Christian culture continues to move in such a way that it's like, let's stay comfortable here. And that just goes against what we see in Scripture. And I feel like there's not enough younger people standing firm in the public forum on these truths. You might have some people that will stand firm on this or that, but it's still wavering. And
right.
I think that's our hope for this podcast is right. to be that.
It's like the hymn, take the world, but give me Jesus. It's... Give me the world and Jesus is kind of the for the most part in the prominent parts of Christian culture. Mm-hmm. At least that's what I see. And to preface all this, I want people to listen and understand. Myself and Chandler, we're not theologians.
We're not pastors.
We're not even elders of our church. But we know that if you're a disciple of Christ, there's a clear way to follow Christ. God has given that to us in His Word. It's black and white. There's no, finagling or way around that. And the passion for this is that I don't see a need or understand a need to want to work around Scripture or work around God's will. God's given us His will in Scripture, and that should be enough.
Yeah.
That should be enough. And that doesn't mean we can't be creative. We're a band. Mm-hmm. We do music. And I've always struggled with that too. Like when it comes to the arts or doing extra things in Christianity, it always feels like we have to copy worldliness to make it good. But that's not true. We can still be creative. This is all kind of our view. you can be creative and still hold very fast to Scripture.
Absolutely.
And there are other artists out there who we like that are doing that, and not just in music, but in other facets. The truth is, and the main point of We the Exiles is, you do not have to borrow anything from the world to make the efforts or the work that God's doing any better, because you can't do anything.
Yeah, amen.
Right? You can't do anything. That's clear. We understand that if we look at God's, that's the whole purpose of Christ, yeah. Right? We can't follow God's law. We can't be enough. You know, we deserve God's wrath. Everyone's fallen short of the glory of God. And Christ is the only way that we can be reconciled to God. Same practices, same truth for everything else we do in our lives. Mm-hmm. So this idea that we can make things better, or that we need to do something to attract mm-hmm. other people that's outside of the gospel or outside of yeah. God's word is false. Yeah. It's not true. And
so with that, we weren't always under this mindset.
Right.
God worked in us, and by his grace, it was... Looking back, it was at a young age. So we mentioned we came to Cleary, where we're actually at right now, recording this podcast, and we started to hear the preaching of this this guy that came from some kind of podunk town in Mississippi.
Yeah, he's what we call good old boy.
Yeah, he's country.
He's a country guy. Boy. And we'll play a clip here in a second, and you'll hear that. But
we just started hearing him and starting to scratch our heads, and we were just like, man, we never heard these truths in Scripture like we heard it.
Well, and it's because it was conviction.
Yeah.
You know, he was, when he came and he started preaching, he was preaching against what common Christian culture and Southern Baptist culture was, mm-hmm. Which is, you know,
we were in a Southern Baptist church.
You're not good. You don't, within yourself, have the will to choose God apart from Christ. And you grow up in Southern Baptist culture, it's decisionism, it's, you know,
You're good.
You have a choice.
And you'll be good, saying, and yeah, you'll be Christian.
Yeah, and there are plenty, you know, and we learn through that that's not true. And through that, it was easy for us, again, to kind of grapple with that, because like we said in our introduction, Chandler and I had kind of seen the work in the hand of God over our lives for a period of time. So when he started preaching this, for me, understanding that I'm not good enough, that I'm a depraved human being who deserves the wrath of God, mm-hmm. because I have, in my sin nature, sinned against the holy God, and then understanding that it's his working that leads to true repentance and stuff like that, made sense to me.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's what I desired to hear, mm-hmm. And that is only by the grace of God.
Yeah, it was like our eyes and our ears just popped open. It's weird, but I can go back to that day and that time when I heard him preach the sermon that really kicked it off for us was on Matthew 7,
which is what we're going to look at today also for our passage.
But it was wild. And I think me being younger, I probably had the tendency to be like, yeah, just get them. You know, I was looking around the room and you know, I was young and wanted to be against the, you know, the tradition and all the, but then I realized, man, he's talking about me.
Mm-hmm.
And God really started, that was a seed sown. And then from there on, God just has been really working
Continue working in us. So it started for me, and I can remember it because that's where we're coming from today as far as Scripture is concerned. It was Matthew chapter 7. It was the whole narrow road, or narrow gate and the broad road. And so we're going to take a time and actually we're going to look at this passage from this. And then we're going to continue on kind of discussing what's led us to be the exiles, but also sharing some clips from some prominent pastors you may have heard of or may have not, that during this growing time for us, God was just using to continue to show us his truth. But we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 7, specifically about fruit, and that's the title of today's episode. They will know you by your fruit.
Yes. All right. I'm going to cue this clip up. This is Kevin Ivey. This is from a sermon jam that Cameron put together 8 years ago. And
this one, Kevin, was still at Cleary too.
It's titled, "What Does Jesus Say About Following Him?" Here we go.
Jesus said, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate. Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many will seek to enter and will not be able." John Bunyan said, "You will not coast into heaven." And you will not coast into heaven. It will require going against the flow. It will require going against the current. It will require running in such a way that you may win the race. It will require you fighting the good fight of faith to lay hold on eternal life. So I want to ask you this morning, are you running for heaven? I'm not asking, are you perfect? I'm asking, are you running for heaven? Are you wrestling for heaven? Are you laboring for heaven? Are you striving for heaven? Are you trying to coast into heaven because you prayed a prayer, joined a church, and filled out a card sometime in your past? Give me a break. That's not the Christianity of the Bible. We're not talking about a peaceful, easy feeling. You know, there are people all over this community right now who got drunk off their stool last night because they went to a ball game and were rejoicing, or just because that's what they do to get their thrills. They were drunk off their stool last night. They slept late this morning. They got up and they're sitting in their pajamas right now, kicked back in a recliner, watching NASCAR, and they are perfectly at peace. And they've got a peaceful, easy feeling. And if you knocked on their door, they'd probably say, "Yeah, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. Yeah. I remember one time when I was 7 years old, I went to BBS at the church down the road, and I asked Jesus to save me. Yeah, I'm all right. I got my flu shot, and I'm okay now. I got my ticket into heaven and out of hell, and I got it in a filing cabinet somewhere back there, and I'll pull it out right before I die and hand it off to Jesus, and everything's good. I'm good." It's not what it's talking about. John 5:10 says, "He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself." Let me just say this to you. If you can live like the world, if you can talk like the world, if you can spend your money like the world, if you can act like the world, and you can focus on the world, not be completely and utterly miserable, you don't have the Holy Spirit in you. We sample Christ, and as preachers would say, we invite him into our life, and that's exactly what we do. Our desire for prosperity stays where it is. Our desire for possession stays where it is. Our desires for the pleasures of this world stay where they are, and we just tack Jesus right onto the rest of them. We just receive him into the life that we have. Jesus will not play second fiddle. Jesus will not be your co-pilot. Jesus is Lord. You will not find in all of Scripture a verse anywhere where you find the apostles, the disciples, Jesus, or anybody else. You will not find anywhere in the Word of God where they say, "Bow your heads with me, close your eyes, as we play 14 verses of Just As I Am, would you please come forward?" The problem is not whether you and I accept Jesus. The problem is whether or not Jesus accepts us. You see, Jesus is not this impotent, weak Savior who's standing at our heart's door knocking, saying, "Please, please, please let me in." No, my friend, the handle to the door is not on the inside. The handle to the door is on the outside, and God has the key, and if he walks in, he's coming in. Jesus doesn't walk around saying, "Guess what? God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life." We don't find the disciples walking around saying, "Admit, believe, confess." We don't find the early church leaders walking around saying, let me just take you down the Roman road here. It's just this simple, 1, 2, 3, 4. No, we don't find that anywhere. So I fear that we've tried to compartmentalize what it means to come to Christ and what it means to follow Christ into something that's simple enough for our simple minds to understand when Jesus' terms were totally, entirely different. What does Jesus say about what it means to follow Him?
Hey, are you enjoying this podcast? Would you like to see it continue? We the Exiles podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Become an Exile today by supporting us through Patreon. With as little as $1 a month, you can support this podcast in the ministry of Seeker and Servant by heading over to patreon.com/seekerandservant. Again, that's Patreon, patreon.com/seekerandservant.
That's some good stuff. I
still love it.
It's been a second since I watched that sermon jam, but man, it just makes me reminisce over that time when we were hearing a lot of sermons like that and how it was so new and fresh to us. Now, because we're under
good teaching,
it's good. It's great. And it's good for our souls, but it doesn't have that same potency that time did, just because it was just fresh and new to us. And wow. Yeah. That was a good time.
Yeah. And it actually that sermon gem included that sermon that was for me kind of, you know, strive to enter through the narrow gate. That was that sermon that I first kind of understood repentance, like I was talking about, and my need mm-hmm. to repent. And
I think it just was like a flame under us, just to like wake us up.
Yeah, it was like that was the match mm-hmm. for that we needed.
And by God's grace, I loved it.
Yeah.
You know, I remember you and I just being like, man, like we wanted more.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely set us on a course to where, you know, at first, you know, and for those who are listening, you'll find out more, but we fall into the Reformed theology category, and it all started with that kind of shaped what our theology would become. But I remember just early on after that, and just continuing on, my desire for just truth mm-hmm. just increased like it never had before. And in the Reform world, they call it almost the cage stage, because, you know, we were ready to tell everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, family, we were just ready to almost, and I remember almost being like a stone mm-hmm. to the world, like in that period of time in my life. I was so eager to be like that.
Yeah, we were seeing things in Scripture that we've never heard, we've never been told, and it's so different than the way that the world's living. And it's like, guys, you know, we were wanted to tell everyone, look, you're thinking wrongly about all this stuff.
Yeah.
And
there is some truth to that. I mean, we were still younger. We were still learning.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I would today maybe approach some of those things differently, but the heart behind, the passion behind that God had given us, was genuine. And almost I would say too that, you know, we do downplay that sometimes, when I think what's more needed and what we need is more earnesty for that.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to downplay someone as being, well, they're being judgmental, or they're being, you know, almost legalistic. But if we really, and really, mm-hmm. which is the heart for the We the Exiles podcast, the line of legalism in our culture is so skewed, because mm-hmm. we don't know what holiness and God looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, I would say 70% of Christian culture doesn't care about God's holiness.
Yeah.
So, you know, so that sermon jam kind of is the overarching, you know, match that started the journey that we've been on.
And it was refreshing for us, and we wanted more of it every Sunday. But we kept wondering, we were like, when is he going to get fired? Because I'll just paint a picture for you. At that time, this was a very, when he came to preach here, it was very Southern Baptist, very set in its ways, traditional church. They really didn't know what they were getting into when they hired him on, and he didn't preach like that at first, but God was working on him, and it just started to kind of come out. And you would just be sitting there looking at down the pews, and it's just like everyone's jaw was just dropped, and it was just like he didn't care.
Yeah,
and that's what I loved about it, because I was like.
And that's still the preaching that I like today.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, the type of person that I am, the stubborn, strong-willed, sinful man that I am,
want to be convicted,
knows that the only way that I'm going to understand truth and see God the way that he wants his word to be preached and to be taught is through men who are willing to be unashamed of the gospel and are willing to tell it like it is.
Yeah. Well, when I go to church, I don't want to be coddled in my ways and my sin. I want to wake up.
Yeah.
And that's that's what preaching like that does.
It needs to hurt your flesh.
Yeah.
If it doesn't hurt your flesh, then you have no desire to change.
Not that every sermon is going to come with that flavor.
Right.
Obviously.
But every sermon should be biblically taught.
Yes. Yeah. It should be biblically taught. Yeah. And if you get caught in the crossfire of what Scripture says, and that stings, then.
Right. And Scripture will speak for itself. I mean, those are like the sermon just said, I love those. Yeah, I need those because I know my personality, I know my heart. But Scripture speaks itself too, in the sense that sometimes you just let the word preach and it'll do the conviction it needs to, because God's word has power. Yeah. I mean, we do that. And saying all this too, you know, some people may be hearing this and be like, you know, you guys talk a lot about the Bible and, you know, that whole saying, you know, Father, Son, the Bible. That, you know, that's not where we're at. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, but we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit according to what God's word says.
Yeah.
And so that's another thing about what this We the Exiles podcast that we're going to dive into in future episodes too, is that as Christians, it's important that we get the definitions of things correctly.
Yes.
That we contextually look at the things of God and his word according to himself.
Yeah, what has he said?
Right, not man-made ideas, not man-made desires, not man-made passions. What has God said about himself, and what does he say in his word that dictates what he desires for us, what his will is for us? People always say, I need to hear a word from God. I need to hear a word from God. Well, have you read the word of God?
Mm-hmm.
Because the word of God is pretty clear about what God expects of his people.
Yeah.
And what is required for true salvation.
Yeah.
So for me, the reason that I'm so adamant about that is because though there's been a resurgence of those things, especially with truth, I still feel like we want so badly, because in our sinfulness, that's just the way it is. We want so badly to still cling so hard to the world, especially in aspects of Christian culture.
And we want to push away things that are going against our sinful nature,
right,
like people that are preaching the word.
Right. And so with that, you know, that sermon jam, what we've talked about so far, that's, you know, that is a culmination of We the Exiles, and that's what we're going to be talking about. And the things we talk about, just like if you've ever heard Seeker and Servant music, we write the music we write to ourselves. Mm-hmm. They are sermons to ourselves about our sinful nature. And about the convictions that God's laying on our hearts. And for us, it reminds us of the psalmist and psalm, and how faithful men, those of old, like the Charles Spurgeons, the Edwards, the Calvins of old, they never steered clear of conviction. They never steered clear of what was black and white in Scripture. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where we want to stand and what we want to do with the exiles. We want to look at Christian culture We want to examine it in the light of Scripture, and we want to say, okay, though our sinful flesh may desire this, is it right?
Mm-hmm.
Just like, you know, all things are lawful, but not all things build up. The whole mission for us as Christians is being a disciple of Christ. And that means laying down what we want, our desires, for what Christ wants and his desire.
Yeah.
And so that's we the exiles.
So we started hearing these great messages and we were wanting more, and we started to find these other guys. I don't know if Kevin Ivey told us about these other guys, but we just started to find these other guys that were aligning up with that type of preaching. And I say that type of preaching, but I'm just saying like preaching that stood firm on the word of God and just came with a flavor of, you know, I don't care what the culture says.
Or the world, yeah, in general. What is this? What clip is this?
This is going to be Paul Washer.
Okay, yeah. So this was all around the same time. This clip is, you may have heard it.
It became fairly popular online.
It's like, it was titled like the Shocking Youth Message
Youth Message, yeah. But that, when we heard this segment that we're going
to
play.
It's like these things kept affirming what we knew to be true.
This was good. Right. I remember it stopped me in my tracks and
Today we're going to play it for you.
Really helped me in my walk. All right, here we go.
There's only one thing that gave me a sleepless night. There's only one thing that troubled me all throughout the morning, and that is this. Within 100 years, a great majority of people in this building will possibly be in hell. And many who even profess Jesus Christ as Lord will spend an eternity in hell. You say, Pastor, how can you say such a thing? I can say such a thing because I don't do my Christian work in America. I spend most of my time preaching in South America, in Africa, and Eastern Europe. And I want you to know that when you take a look at American Christianity, it is based more upon a godless culture than it is upon the Word of God. And so many people are deceived, and so many youth are deceived, and so many adults are deceived into believing that because they prayed a prayer one time in their life, they're going to heaven. And then when they look around at others who profess to know Christ and see those people also just as worldly as the world, and they compare themselves by themselves, nothing troubles their heart. They think, well, I'm the same as most in my youth group. I watch things I shouldn't watch on television and laugh about the very things that God hates. I wear clothing that is sensual. I talk like the world. I walk like the world. I love the music of the world. I love so much that's in the world. But bless God, I am a Christian. Why am I a Christian? I don't look any different than most of the other people in my church. Why am I a Christian? Because there was a time in my life when I prayed and asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. I want you to know that the greatest heresy in the American evangelical and Protestant church is that if you pray and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, he will definitely come in. You will not find that in any place in Scripture. What you need to know is that salvation is by faith and faith alone in Jesus Christ. And faith alone in Jesus Christ is preceded and followed by repentance. A turning away from sin, a hatred for the things that God hates and a love for the things that God loves. A growing in holiness and a desire not to be like Britney Spears, not to be like the world, and not to be like the great majority of American Christians, but to be like Jesus Christ. I don't know why you're clapping. I'm talking about you.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah. And I know, you know, there are a lot of people that hate Paul Washer.
Yeah.
There
are a lot of people that hate us.
Yeah, that's true. But
there are a lot of people that hate Christians.
Yeah. And when we say hate, it's not like the hate you think. It's just the world is not supposed to love you if you're a Christian. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to get that. Because yeah. The love of the world is, you're an enemy of God if you love the world. I mean, and
I think that's what, I mean, like what he was just saying in that, but just a reiteration of like what we're we're saying is kind of the basis of why we're doing this podcast is just like, that's what we see in the culture today. We see
still there.
We see the quote unquote Christian church trying to be like the world, to entice the world in, and that is not what Scripture tells us to do. And
if you bring the world in, you have to keep the world in to keep it. You know, if you're using the world to attract, well, guess what? You have to continue to use the world to attract.
Yeah.
But if it's on the foundation of the gospel, if it's on the foundation of Jesus Christ alone, guess what? Christ is enough, and you don't have to use the world.
Yeah, and I think too for us in our hopes for the listener is that you would take what we say and look at Scripture and not just take what we say for what we say, but I had a thought, I was getting to a point, is I just had a brain fart.
First brain fart on the air.
What was I going to say? It's
I don't know. Well, in regards to this, you know, for me especially, it's a hard truth. The truth is, even if you grow up under good teaching, you could grow up in a Reformed church, you can grow up in a Presbyterian church, you can grow up under good teaching, you can have parents that teach you good things, you know, in accordance to God's law, as all parents should be instructing their children according to God's word. But the truth is, your desire for these things, your desire for truth, your desire for those things will only come about if you're saved through Christ. And I guess that's where we're looking at when we're talking about fruit, when we're talking about those things, is that you, apart from Christ, are not going to produce good fruit.
Mm-hmm.
You're not. You, apart from Christ, aren't going to do anything at all that amounts to anything in the eyes of God.
Yeah.
You are like a worm in the dirt. That's what you are. We are so sinful in the eyes of a holy God that the right thing for God to do is to, in his perfect justice, is to send us all to hell.
Yeah.
That's the truth. And these messages and stuff, these true messages that line up with God's word, are just stating those truths to remind us in our sinfulness why we need Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And why that's all we need.
Yeah.
That's really it.
I had my thought come back. What I was getting at was one of the reasons why that really stopped us in our tracks and why that's resonated with a lot of people was in that moment. That was such a monumental moment when he
preached that.
At that moment when everyone's clapping and he says, "I don't know why you're clapping. I'm talking about you." That's so true. And that's what I was getting at is a lot of people. And for a time when we were younger, I think we did that some, but it's just like, it becomes easy in the Christian culture just to devour anything that's labeled Christian, or you go to a conference, it doesn't matter who's speaking, you just listen to them, and you say, oh, that was good, that was Christian, but you're not listening. And I think that's what Paul Washer's point was there is, yeah, you know, I'm making a statement, you know, don't be like Britney Spears, don't be like all these people. Well, the truth is, majority of the people that were probably there in that youth conference, they were probably like typical, you know, dress like the world, do all that, you know,
and, typical youth group.
And so,
like we
people love to rally at motivational, you know, times and whatever. And he said, you know, why are you clapping? And that for me, and that's what I was saying, like for this podcast, our heart is to speak truth for you to hopefully by God's grace hear and look at God's word and what we're saying, because the culture is saying a lot of things.
And a lot of Christian shows, podcasts, stuff like that too, is also saying that. They're also dumbing down conviction. They're dumbing down truth by wanting to still appease the flesh.
Yeah.
And what we're wanting to do with We the Exiles is not appease the flesh.
Shouldn't we as Christians be serious about the Word of God? Shouldn't we be serious about running from the things that God hates?
Yeah.
Instead of making a proclamation for the acceptance of it?
Yeah. Do you desire to be more liked by your peers so much to the point that you're willing to dumb down truth or water down truth because you're afraid that if you stand on that side, you stand on the Word of God, that that means you're going to lose them? Well, let me tell you something. You're going to. Christ himself affirmed that. He said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me first.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe if you're really a Christian, then that truth, the thought of that, that's doesn't scare you.
Yeah.
In your flesh, you will struggle with that thought because we all struggle with pride. We struggle with, you know, wanting to be liked by others. But just like the work of Christ in your life saving you isn't your own doing, it's the continual sanctification through the Holy Spirit that keeps you knowing those truths and working towards those truths. And it just felt like, for the most part, and a lot of times, and especially with our peers, it's like we're an advocate of even good Christian culture,
mm-hmm.
but we are not an advocate with Christ.
Yeah.
And so that's where we stand, and we're going to dive into deep issues. We're going to talk about deep issues sometimes that people don't want to talk about.
Yeah,
Don't want to face. We got to get going and closing up the segment. But to close up the segment, we want to play one more clip.
Yeah, we ran into journey of hearing these great sermons and just God working in our lives. We bumped into old John Piper.
Yeah.
And he became a great encouragement for us in our faith.
I think Don't Waste Your Life, which is kind of where this sermon that we're about to play a clip from is kind of that, was one of the first really theological books that I read.
Yeah. This was at Passion.
98,
yeah, the organization that puts on Passion that's huge now that I would probably say has really...
kind of dived off into the wrong way.
Yeah. This was at one of their first events in 2000 called One Day, and Piper just presented.
And you may have heard, this is one of his most popular sermons, but again, this is a good synopsis of where we stand and what kind of set us on this journey to We the Exiles.
Yeah.
3 weeks ago, we got news at our church that Ruby Eliason and Laura Edwards were killed in Cameroon. Ruby Eliason, over 80, single all her life, a nurse, poured her life out for one thing, to make Jesus Christ known among the sick and the poor in the hardest and most unreached places. Laura Edwards, a medical doctor in the Twin Cities, and then in retirement, partnering up with Ruby, also pushing 80, and going from village to village in Cameroon. And the brakes give way. Over a cliff they go. And they're dead instantly. And I asked my people, is this a tragedy? Two women in their 80s, almost, a whole life devoted to one idea, Jesus Christ magnified among the poor and the sick, in the hardest places, and 20 years after most of their American counterparts had begun to throw their lives away on trivialities in Florida and New Mexico, fly into eternity with a death in a moment. Is this a tragedy? I asked. It is not a tragedy. I'll read you what a tragedy is. I've got a little article here from Reader's Digest. You don't read Reader's Digest, I know that. But there is a generation who does. This is a tragedy. Title of the article, Start Now, Retire Early, February 1998. Bob and Penny took early retirement from their jobs in the Northeast 5 years ago when he was 59 and she was 51. Now they live in Punta Gorda, Florida, where they cruise on their 30-foot trawler, play softball, and collect shells. That's a tragedy. That's a tragedy. And there are people in this country that are spending billions of dollars to get you to buy it. And I get 40 minutes to plead with you, don't buy it. With all my heart, I plead with you, don't buy that dream. The American dream. A nice house, a nice car, a nice job, a nice family, a nice retirement, collecting shells. As the last chapter before you stand before the creator of the universe to give an account with what you did. Here it is, Lord, my shell collection. Look, Lord, my shell collection. And I've got a good swing. And look at my boat. God, look at my boat, God. Well, not for Ruby and not for Laura. Don't waste your life. Don't waste it.
Leaving Shadowland, Seeker and Servant's newest EP. Including the single, Fear of Missing Out, as well as three brand new tracks. Releasing June 7th, wherever digital music is heard or sold.
Did anyone leave room?
Oh, maybe a little bit of pudding.
It's time for dessert.
You love your pudding.
It's time
for our closing segment.
Yes. There was a lot of things that could still be said for our main dish, but when you're running on
a schedule.
And
we like to talk. We want to make the points clear, no doubt. And we will, and we'll get better at being able to clearly define things we need to define in a more apt time as we go. Yeah.
I was going to say, too, I wanted to mention, as we mentioned before we get into the scripture, is we're producing this podcast just from our own pockets and because we love to use, we love to use, I guess, the gifts that the Lord has given us and the resources that we have. To proclaim the gospel, and we feel that this podcast is important, and we want to make it, and we want to make it as long as we can, and
as well as other things that the Lord's laid on our heart. You know, obviously, Seeker and Servant.
Yeah, our music is one of those things, which obviously, there's no better way to promote your own music than just to do it on your podcast.
Which is totally not the reason for the podcast, but they go together. I mean, they're all an extension of who we are as Christians.
Yeah.
So
a lot of times we have a lot of these ideas, we have a lot of these desires, and we're usually just coming from our own pockets with a lot of that, and that's okay. But we have a way that you guys can help us and sow into it, and we can make it better and continue to get.
And our goal is we want to build it. We want to bring in guests. We want to bring in, we want to bring in pastors, maybe more popular pastors on the show, and we want to have, we want to be able to build up our resources and continue it. And we know that this will inevitably happen through God's sovereignty, whether we want it to or not. We trust him in that. But we also believe that our Christian brothers and sisters can be a great extension of support.
Yes.
And so we're asking, you know, look, if you're not sowing into something currently, if you have a little bit of extra change left over from a month or something, we would greatly appreciate your support. And you can do that through Patreon.
Yes. It's patreon.com, which we mentioned in one of our earlier commercials, but it's Patreon .com/seekerandservant, and that's just all together. This is where you can sow into all of our efforts, Seeker and Servant, music-wise, this podcast, and any other gospel-centered content that we want
to
put out.
Yeah, because our goal is to create, we have some videos already up if you check out Seeker and Servant's YouTube as well, and we're going to be linking those to the Sweet Exiles podcast webpage that we're creating.
So you can give as little as $1 a month, literally just $1 a month if you wanted to. And we have other tiers that go up, but basically you get early access to content we put out with this new EP that we're putting out. You can actually hear it a week before it releases, things like that. And we'll also, we'll do special things from time to time to include you guys since you're supporting us and helping us. So anyway, patreon.com/seekerandservant, and you can help sow into this. Just wanted to mention that before we moved on.
And we're open to other forms. We're just trying to, Patreon's a good way for us to have everything kind of centralized. It helps us know exactly what we know we have coming in for the month from support, so we know, you know, how much we can spend or what we can utilize for the ministries that we're doing. So it's just a great way to do it, and it keeps up with everything automatically.
Yes.
So that's, it helps us keep up with everything. It helps us know, you know, who's supporting us. It also gives us a personal interaction with those who are supporting us, which we like. So yeah, Patreon's the way we would like to use it. So if you want to support us, use that.
And then one more thing I wanted to mention was, with this podcast, we're open to questions or if you have like a certain topic that you'd like to be discussed or whatever, we would love your feedback. You can
find all the places to reach out to us at our We the Exiles webpage, which will be up when this launches. But we don't know the exact address of that right now, the time of this recording.
That's fine. You can find us through Seeker and Servant, right. Facebook, so Instagram.
For the time being, look through Seeker and Servant to find all the We Here Excel stuff.
Yeah. Anyway, now to the dessert.
So the dessert is always going to be our closing segment. This is where we're actually going to read scripture that pertains to what we talked about in the main dish. And so we're going to read the scripture, kind of have a devotional time with that, and then we'll close out our...
Yeah, and I guess because we were running a little...
Over on time.
I just kind of wanted to just summarize what the main dish was, the purpose of it. We just wanted to kind of give you guys a background of how we got to this point where we think it's really important to do a podcast like this, where we discern what the culture is saying and back it up with scripture. What does God say we need to be doing and where we need to be?
Yeah. And for us specifically, Christian culture.
Yes.
Because there are podcasts out there that are looking at culture, but where we kind of want to stand out, or we kind of feel like our niche for discussion is Christian culture.
Well, it's the Christian culture, which looks like
culture. Correct.
But anyway, we titled it, They'll Know You By Your Fruit, and a lot of the stuff that was spoken in the sermons and the things that we said basically boils down to this, you know, what is our fruit? What are we... What does the world see when they see us? Do we look just like them, or do we have something about us that is different?
That makes us an exile, that separates us.
So today's scripture, if you're driving, please do not pull out your Bible and read while you drive.
You can look at it later and just trust us.
But you can hear. We're gonna We're going to give it to you. But yeah, if you are aware, you can pull out your Bible. We're going to be in Matthew 7, and we're going to start in verse 13, and we're going to go down to
end of the chapter.
End of 7. Yep. So, Cameron, hit us with the word.
All right. Starting in 13 of chapter 7, Matthew, it says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who go through it. How narrow is the gate and difficult the road that leads to life, and few find it. Be on your guard against false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravaging wolves. You'll recognize them by their fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, but a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce good fruit. Every tree that doesn't produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire, so you'll recognize them by their fruit. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do many miracles in your name?' Then I will announce to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers.' Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house. Yet it didn't collapse because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed. It collapsed with a great crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, because he was teaching them like one who had authority and not like their scribes.
The word of the Lord.
And yeah, that coincides with everything that those sermon snippets were saying, and really the, as a Christian, who we're supposed to be striving for. The truth is, it is a narrow gate.
It's narrow.
It's narrow. I would venture to say that hearing that, it's even more so than we probably realize.
Mm-hmm.
Especially today with all the distractions and everything we have thrown in our face.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, we all, I mean, it seems like there's so many Christians in the world today. And America is the quote unquote Christian nation or whatever. But the majority of people that you think, that's the thing, is, it's not as broad,
right,
as it's depicted.
Yeah.
It's not,
I mean, it says it here. It says, few find it, right?
Few find it.
It's not, and, not many, And that's not to say that, oh, we just have this magical number in our heads of who's going to find the narrow gate. It's not like that. It's just that it's true, because when you actually weigh the majority of culture, including Christian culture, to Scripture, like we've been talking about, it really does feel like more like a few.
Yeah. And that's the point, too, is like, just because people claim Christ doesn't mean that they're a Christian.
Right.
And what version are you reading from?
I'm reading from the CSB. Well, I've got the Charles Spurgeon Study Bible because I like his commentary.
So I think this is cool. What I'm reading from the ESV, when it said broad, in mine it said easy.
Yeah.
And that's what we see a lot. It's just, it's easy.
Well, in our flat, honestly, everybody wants it easy.
Yeah.
I mean, I want it easy. A lot of times I'm tempted to take the easy way out of
a lot of
things.
And I can tell you right now, following Christ is hard.
It was super hard.
It's the hardest thing you will ever do.
And the will to follow Christ is not within yourself. That's why you don't will yourself to be a Christian, because no one in their right and in their sinful flesh,
wants
in their nature,
do, yeah.
No one wants that.
Why do you want to do that?
Why do you want to die to yourself and follow someone you can't see?
Yeah.
It's faith. And that faith is not of your own doing. It is a gift from God.
So, yeah.
And then it goes on to talk about fruit, which is through discernment, what we're going to be discerning on this podcast is fruit. I mean, that's why the title of this is They Will Know You by Your Fruit, because that is evident. Look, you don't have to talk to people a lot of times to know where they stand,
mm-hmm.
right? It's their actions that speak, mm-hmm. like that whole saying, and actually speak louder words.
And we get this a lot. It's just like, you know, don't judge. You can't judge. This is kind of a passage that not necessarily we judge people's salvation or anything, that, you know, that is God's doing. But if you're showing a certain type of fruit, what you're showing is what we see.
And what you're showing is what your heart
is
reflecting.
If you claim to be a brother and sister in Christ and someone points that out, that's the job of brothers and sisters in Christ.
I mean, in the same passage in the beginning of chapter 7 is the famous passage that most people like to use, you know, do not judge, right? Do not judge. But we take it out of context because we don't really understand what is being said here.
Right. And that is, I'm speaking specifically for people that claim to be Christians.
Right.
If it's someone that's in the world, a
lost person is a lost person, and we can't expect them to act any differently than a lost person.
But if you're claiming to be a Christian and you're going clearly against what Scripture says, it's our responsibility as brothers and sisters in Christ to go alongside you, because we don't want you to live in your sin.
I mean, majority of Paul's ministry was rebuking. That's what he went. He went to the churches and rebuked them. I mean, that's part of what we're supposed to do. Now, that's not the main focus. Everything we do, we are supposed to do out of a loving heart. But it is that loving heart that wants to see our Christian brothers and sisters love Christ more.
So that's what we'll be talking about here on the podcast, is discernment and what it says in the first verse of that segment. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. We'll talk a lot about that on our podcast, too. Current Christian leaders that are leading people astray,
and we're going to talk about not just current Christian pastors, but Christian worship leaders too, because obviously our music, that's going to be
any realm of Christian culture. But so fruit's important. Good fruit's important, especially if you're saved.
And
if you are saved, you will bear good fruit. God will see to it that, and that's the encouragement, is that God will see to it that you will.
You will. And because it's impossible to have Christ and not bear good fruit.
Yeah. But if you're playing the game and you think, I've got it, I'm good. Well, we come down to the next section where God says, you will claim to me on that day, Lord, Lord, and I will say that I never knew you. That, for us, when we heard that for the first time, was like, wow. You know, he's not playing around.
I mean, I want to be known by God.
Yeah.
And I think, too, that's another evidence of your faith. If you want to be known by God and you want to truly love God, that desire is put within you because of your salvation.
Yeah, you're not going to want that to be the case.
If you hear that and you're like, that should stir conviction in your heart.
Yeah.
I mean, it should. And that's, we don't want that to be reality for people. We don't want to be reality for ourselves. And so,
if we are truly saved, or if we're not, and God just convicts us from that, just talking about in general, whoever listening, this should make us uncomfortable.
It should bring us to repentance.
Yes.
And then the conclusion, the sweet spot of this is, how do we bear good fruit, right? Yeah. How do we walk the
narrow gate? How can we enter by the narrow gate?
Well, it's by building our foundation upon Christ. And that's what the closing part that we read from this is.
Christ is the rock,
right,
in which we should build our foundation. If we build our foundation on Christ alone, we will bear good fruit. If we listen and obey his words that he's commanded in his scriptures, we will see fruit.
Yeah,
we will desire him more.
Yeah.
And we will constantly be going down a narrow, narrow, narrow way, and we will be excommunicated from the world.
We'll become more and more exiled from the world, just like Lord.
That might not sound very appealing to you,
but a heart changed by Christ desires things that the majority of the world does not.
There's no greater joy
than following Christ.
And
I'll say this too, when it comes to building, you know, our foundations, when it comes to our families, our marriages, that applies to everything mm-hmm. in our churches. And say this, just because your church is small or it's to the outside world doesn't look successful, doesn't make it not successful. Just because there's a mega church up the road that has 5,000, 6,000 people in it and they're thriving and there's money flourishing at church doesn't mean that church is successful. They may look like they're successful, but their house, that church, is not built on the rock of God. And guess what? There's no fruit being produced in those people. Mm-hmm. Just because our eyes see something and it tells our hearts that it's unsuccessful or not good doesn't mean that's the case. What's good and what's right is Christ. And we need to build our rock. We need to build everything we do in our lives on the foundation of Christ.
And it's because Christ is worthy, period.
It is.
Christ is everything. We are nothing. And that is the truth that we proclaim. And that is our hope for We the Exiles. We hope that this has been encouraging to you. And until next time, we are the Exiles. Set your eyes on Christ and fight the good fight.